Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm Bill Moss, your host and founder of Citizens Against Terrorism. You can find us at citizensagainstterrorism.org. I ask you to go to our page. If you decide you would like to join us, go to the top of the page and click the Facebook rally point. If accepted, you will be given instructions on how to proceed to join the actual organization. Once you're on the page, you're not necessarily on the organization yet. You have to go through the steps. We do have certain requirements, and we need to make sure you meet them. Today's show is sponsored by Just Sporting Goods at the Green Roof Plaza in Pittsburgh, Kentucky. Jeff has trailers, accessories, guns, ammo, fishing tackle, and more. Call Jeff for your sporting good needs at 606-877-2442 for more information. Our co-host, Deborah, is with us today, and it looks like our co-host, special co-host, Philip, is with us today, too. Hello, Philip.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you, Deborah?
Good. Hello, Philip. Hello, Bill.
It's the gang's all here that we like to get together here. Philip, we're going to start out tonight. We're going to talk about, the things that's been going on right now. One of the things we're going to talk about is this Supreme Court nominee thing that's going on. The president's got a due diligence, according to the Constitution, to appoint anytime there is a vacancy in the bench. And he's trying to do that. But he's meeting resistance. And one of the things that troubles me on this is that they're holding a religious test against somebody he's not even nominated yet, and they're trying to hold a religious test against him. And, that's not according to the Constitution. That's just not right.
That falls under the separation of church and state to begin with, doesn't it? Which makes it completely against the Constitution.
Yes, it does. I don't know the exact context of this, Deb. Do you know the context of the quote that was made by Dianne Feinstein, "The dogma lives loudly in you"? When did she say that? Are you sure?
Yeah, she said that in 2017 because President Trump was actually considering Amy Coney Barrett, and then he chose Justice Kavanaugh. So he was actually considering her, and it is Article 6, Clause 3, is where the no religious test clause resides in the Constitution, and it is also followed by a clause requiring all federal officeholders to take an oath or affirmation to support the Constitution. And I will add that there's been a couple of politicians that have sworn their confirmation in by placing their hand on the Quran, as well as I think President Obama's used both the Bible and the Quran, according to you. And then, of course, Ilhan Omar, she's adorable. She went out and got the biggest Quran she could find, and there was a big photo op. So there you go. That's some of the information I have, both of you.
Well, I mean, this is – that right there shows that there's – religious thoughts in people's minds, but that doesn't mean that you can't separate them when you sit on the bench. A judge has to lay aside all of their religious feelings and go by the Constitution. That's been the problem we've had in the past. It seems to me like these politicians in Washington anymore, they want to do away with Christianity. They want to do away with any form of it because it doesn't fit their agendas. And, we're a Christian nation. Just face it. There's more Christian churches than any other church in this country. Yes, we have the Buddhist temples. We have the Islamic temples. We have the other faiths too. But the Christian religion is what founded this country. It was founded on puritanical Christian beliefs. And that is what has held us together for so long. And now we're being torn at the threads. Don't you think so, Philip?
Yes, sir, I do.
It's just like, you know, if you get a cat scratching on a couch, the next thing you know, it's nothing but shreds. And that's what we've got in our office holders today. I call them office holders. They call themselves leaders. They're supposed to be representatives. They're neither a leader or a representative. If they was, they wouldn't lead the country in the way that it's going. And I'm talking both sides of the aisle. There's both sides of the aisle. We got this going. And the whole thing is no religious text of the United States Constitution is a clause within Article 6, Clause 3, as you said. Okay? The members of the state legislatures and all executive judicial officers, both of the United States and of several states, shall be bound by oath of affirmation to support this Constitution, but no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And then we have Nancy Pelosi gets up and says she's got a quiver full of arrows for this one. You know, they've been shooting arrows at this president while he's been doing a decent job. I mean, really, the best job I've seen anybody do, and this is my commentary. It's not the organization's commentary, but it's in my commentary. It is the best president I've seen in my lifetime. And everything he's done, they have fought. They spent, what, $50 million on an impeachment, and now they're turning around wanting to impeach him again because he's going to appoint a judge that he's required by the Constitution to do, but the judge that passed away don't want to be appointed a seat filled by him, her seat. I mean, this is ridiculous. That shows her partisanship. I remember when Trump went into office that Ruth Bader Goldberg got up and said, "I will not leave the bench until he's out of office." Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
I remember it.
I'm going to say everything about it. I was going to tell you, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has chosen to be buried in the Arlington Cemetery, and as the Supreme Court justice, were given that option. But it's just so slanted, you know. And you were going to talk about that, you know. It's so one way. Everything is always their way. They're drawing a fit. It's almost like the boy that cried wolf. Every time they get a sliver or break a fingernail, they cry wolf. It's ridiculous.
It reminds me of a post I saw on Facebook one time. A whole bunch of them having a sit down in the floor of the House of Representatives, and somebody had photoshopped pacifiers in their mouth. Because that's what they're asking. Like, again, it goes back to there's one popsicle and two kids, and they don't want to split it. So they'll sit there and fight and let it melt, trying to be the one to get it. And, you know, you've got to give and take in this world. You've got to understand that you don't get your way all the time. And that's where we've led to in this society. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. We're going to get into what's going on in the streets right now in a little bit. And, you know, it just infuriates me. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's ridiculous that these people will take and waste our time and our tax money. The money they spent on trying to impeach a president that was doing a job simply because he lost because they lost an election would have been very well spent and helping people right now while these governors has had these states shut down. And, you know, we can look at our own country. The last I heard, Governor Andy Dadpants was still sitting on over, I think it was a billion and a quarter in federal aid that was supposed to went to unemployment. It was supposed to went to the shopkeepers, the business owners that were hurt by the COVID shutdown. Yet he's sitting on top of that, and now FEMA's coming in and extending, I said last night, extending $400 a week for 3 weeks because they can't get Nancy back in to Washington to have a vote on something they've done agreed on. This is ridiculous. The American people deserve better than we're getting. We deserve better than we're getting. And, you know, if it was the Republican side doing this, you know, I'd be just as harsh on them. But, I mean, this whole thing is just turned into a joke. And the bad thing is it's at the cost of the American people. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I'm going to turn this one over to Phil.
It makes me think back, guys, down just like when you were kids on the playground and you had one kid in the neighborhood and he had the basketball goal or the basketball, and if he didn't score the most points of the game, he'd just take his ball and go home. It seems to be the same way, and it's working out. You know, if you don't do it my way, I'm going to take the ball and go home, or I'm going to take the ball and leave, and you can't pass this to help people because I'm not there to help vote on it. It's childish.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I've never seen grown people, especially senior citizens, and that's what most of them are. They've been in office 30, 40, 50 years, some of them, and they act like they're fresh out of Head Start.
Well, you know, you made another point there, too. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, I was going to throw out there a little side note. You know, they love pizza, so what can I say? They're like kids.
Right. That, you know, this whole thing is just sickening. It's a plumb sickening what's going on in this country, and I am so sick of it. But what are we going to do? You know, people's got to get out and vote. They got to get out and say what's best for the country for a change instead of what's best for me. You know, laying my agenda aside, what's going to make our country prosper, what's going to make our country safe, what's going to keep our children safe. What kind of education are they going to get? Because the education they're getting under these supposed leaders, representatives, / office holders is sickening. We've got Islam being taught in schools, but Christianity is not. You know, thank God the president did pass a law where they can teach the Bible in school. They teach it as a historical document. But, I mean, we've seen where schools are making kids get down and pray to Allah, you know, that are Christian kids. That's part of their curriculum. Tennessee had the pillars of Islam up in their hallways in some of their schools. You know, and until, you know, just a few decades ago, it was illegal for anybody, a Muslim, to hold office in this country. And there was a reason for that. If you look at Sharia law, which they're trying to impose in cities, they're giving us no-go zones that we're not supposed to go into. Well, I tell you what, I'm a U.S. citizen. I walk down the street any dang gone street. It don't matter to me. If they don't want me there, then they're going to do something about it. You know, this is America, and it's going to stay America as long as I draw breath. And I believe Philip is staying, feels the same way, and you too. You know, this is something that I'm willing to fight and die for. And I can't sit and watch our country just get thrown away. I took teacher's math in college. My grandson come to me, second grade. He says, "Paps, can you help me with this math problem?" I looked at it and I said, "Well, what is it?" And it was this new curriculum, this new Common Core that is Muslim-based. It made no sense to me. And I took teacher's math in college, you know, to be able to teach kids up to the eighth grade. And I couldn't handle a second grade problem anymore with the stuff they're doing. And our kids' IQs are going to go down. Their scores are going to go down. The quality of life is going to go down because they're uneducated. We're already seeing that with the teachings that they got in the schools on history. We talked about that last night. You know, one page in a history book for Vietnam. Come on, get real. You know, Philip, I know you served overseas. And, you know, what's it going to be like in a couple years when you open up your kid's history book and it just says, well, there was this sandy place and our soldiers went over there and killed a bunch of people. I mean, it couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, it was a war, and they don't want to teach that. They want to rewrite every piece of our history. That's why they're tearing down our statues and our monuments, and these politicians are behind it. They're behind them. Pelosi herself took down pictures of statesmen out of the halls of Congress because she said they were racist. This is ridiculous. It's got to stop. Another thing I want to talk about is Louisville. Philip and I have been up there and looked the bear in the eye, haven't we, Philip?
Yes,
and it's
sir.
It's not a pretty place up there. With my experience, it was nothing like I had dealt with before. I'd never dealt with that kind of volume of people walking around hostile with weapons. And, you know, and Philip, we're kind of, in the U.S., we're kind of hamstrung a little bit compared to what you would be overseas in certain situations. We talked about that today. And but we have to get out there. We have to get out there. I done a breaking video tonight on YouTube. It's on YouTube and it's on our page. It's Citizens Against Terrorism, talking about what has went on in Louisville, and I just want to kind of recap that with everybody. Louisville is bracing for a violent protest in the wake of the grand jury indictment that came out today. Only one of the three officers, Brett Hankison, has been charged with three counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, but no charge of murder. There have been no charges brought against the other officers in the Breonna Taylor case. Louisville Metro Police and city officials are expecting a surge of riots and violence in that time. Then you've got this Linda Saussure. Are y'all familiar with her? She's the
no, sir, I'm not.
She's the leader of a organization called Until Freedom, and they've been fanning the flames. They've been fanning the flames on all this. She says justice has not been served. Rise up all across the country, everywhere. Rise up for hashtag Breonna Taylor. That was her tweet. She's calling for more violence. I mean, that's pretty clear when you read that, is it not?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that she's doing it because, like I say, she's been fanning the flames of violence throughout the duration of these riots. It goes on to tell us that Officer Mattingly and Cosgrave were not charged because they returned fire after Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, fired on them and therefore was deemed unable to charge because of Kentucky state law. In the state of Kentucky, you fired a police officer, you're going to get shot. That's the way it is. That's the way it needs to be everywhere. I mean, our officers are valuable to us. We need to support them. We need to back them. And they also, you know, there
the
was a lot of go ahead.
If way I see it, Bill, I'd touch on that before you go on. And the United States of America and Kentucky or anywhere else, United States, I believe if you're out pointing guns at people, whether it's a driver, somebody going down the highway like I've seen, or in my front yard, your front yard in town, if you're pointing a loaded weapon at somebody, I think any American has the right to defend themselves and ought to them not be prosecuted for doing just that because that's all you're doing. Police officers, if you fire at police officers, they have the right to fire back and defend themselves. If you fire at me, you better believe I'm going to defend myself. They should not be punished,
well,
no American. If you're not the one being the aggressor, you should not be punished for defending yourself or your family or an innocent bystander if you need to defend them.
Well, I would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Well,
that's what
sir,
I always say.
Can I say
you know,
something
we've both lost somebody, Philip. You've lost a friend. I've lost one of my leader's sons to drive-by shootings all in the last 2 months. These were people that were just minding their business going down the street, and they get killed. And this has to stop. This has to stop. Neighbors also witnessed to the fact that, you know, they were saying that the police didn't announce themselves before they come. Well, in fact, a no-knock warrant, you're not supposed to have to. But her own neighbor said they did announce before they crashed the door that it was the police. so they gave them a warning that they were there. And this boyfriend of hers decides he's going to shoot at him anyway. And then he turns around and says, oh, well, I didn't know it was the police. So they let him walk. Now, this officer, this charge, it's because he randomly fired shots into the house blindly. That's why they've charged him with that. If that's true, then it was wrong. But if it's not true, then, you know, that's for the court to decide. You know, this guy's just been arraigned, I don't even know if he's been arraigned. He has. He's been arraigned. He was given $15,000, bought cash bond, and he was bonded out. And now he has to go to trial. And, you know, I do know that from the history of the officer, he had some trouble in his career. But at the same time, I want to hear what the jury has to say. That's the way we work in America. 12 people get together, they listen, and they come up with a decision. If they can't come up with a decision, then it's a hung jury.
It's due process. He has the right to present, you know, his case. What I can't understand is they indicted him for randomly shooting, wanton endangerment. Well, when you announce yourself and kick the door in, if you've ever been in a fire team situation, when you go in the door and a bullet comes through and hits an officer and you don't know where it's coming from in the kitchen hallway, they said they shot through the hall, walls and everything. Well, whoever's on the other side of the wall, somewhere the bullet came from and hit you, you're going to fire whatever direction the bullet came from and you're going to try to stop. You know,
right.
So I don't see where he come in and endangering somebody if he was shooting through into that apartment, and the bullet that hit another officer came out of that apartment. He was trying to stop the suspect that was shooting.
If the shots came after they were fired at, he had every right to be shooting.
That's what I'm saying. There was no random
shooting
or shooting too much. You shoot until you stop the perpetrator.
We're still trying to get to the bottom if the shots came before or after is why I said it the way I said it. But I mean, make no mistake, you know, I will back him until he's proven guilty. At that point, then, you know, if he's proven guilty by a court of law, I have to accept that. I might not like it, but I'll have to accept it because that's the way our country's supposed to go. But we don't see our side out in the street tearing up the towns and burning things tonight. It's the other side. Deb, you've talked to me about that. Kind of share with our listeners what's going on tonight.
Well, Philip, you might know what's happening in your area, but I'm seeing it light up. Fires, New York, L.A. I haven't checked Portland or Seattle, but I think Seattle has a problem. Louisville, they're barricading them in. It's a mess. It's going to light up for 5 days. I will bet you it'll be lit up until Monday, and when they stop this thing. I don't know. What do you guys think? I just think it's going to get bad.
Well, you did say Louisville's finally arresting them, right?
Yes, they are today. Yes, they were. And they are. And they're not playing.
That's about time.
Yeah, they are. They're getting aggressive on their arrest. And they're not putting up with nonsense, and they haven't barricaded down certain streets. They're corralling them in areas, so they're not letting them run free. You know, it's more controlled. Yeah.
I don't know. They told three cities yesterday that they was losing all their federal funding: New York and Portland and Seattle, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Because they weren't getting control of their cities. So maybe that is waking up some of these other cities because they know they'll be on the chopping block next, I hope. But then you've got some that just won't care. You know, they're in this for the ride. They want to do is let these thugs and hooligans destroy as much as they can because they think it's going to help them in the long run. And I think they're going to find out that it's not. Okay, we've had the paperwork that we read a while back where it was talking about these people are warning us of a civil war. Now, it's not a civil war. It's a criminal terroristic insurgency is what it is. These are terrorists. I don't want to frame it as a civil war because civil war, you can get pardoned. On terrorism, you can't. But, Philip, you've been in the streets. You've seen what's gone on. Does it look like a civil war to you, or does it look like terrorism?
Well, there's no other way to classify this except terrorism. When you walk into a city and you demand that due process is done away with to give you the answers and results you want, and if you don't have them by a deadline, that you are going to destroy property and you're going to destroy vehicles and buildings. The city of Louisville is boarded up. It looks like it's been abandoned for the most part, except for people protesting in the streets. And you're attacking innocent people and old people and pregnant women. That is nothing more than terrorism. That's exactly what was seen in Desert Storm in the 90s, you know, when George Bush activated the United States Army and declared war and we went to Iraq. You know, we seen
right.
Saddam Hussein controlling the city. Well, that's exactly what's happened right now. It's terrorism, plain and simple. There's nothing civil about it.
You know, our Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, he gave a fitting statement today. He said, if you simply act on emotion, there is no justice. Mob justice is not justice. It becomes revenge. And that's what we've seen from the beginning with George Floyd, right on through Breonna Taylor, Jacob Blake, all these others. You know, there's been these riots. So it's like they just look for a reason to tear up and burn down our cities. Now they've moved into our countrysides. You know, at least if I haven't looked at the map today, but at least a third of the United States is burning on the west, on the western side. Yeah, last time we looked, or last time I looked, Deb, you might have looked since I have. It had moved all the way to South Dakota. There had been 1,820 fires set. There's 1,810 that were going the other day. You know, this is a serious thing. And for a long time, they kept saying, oh, Antifa's not setting the fires. Black Lives Matter's not setting the fires. And the whole time, they was locking these people up, knowing what they were. They even laid a deputy off or put him on administrative leave because he told the truth to a live streamer. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're in Bend, Oregon now. That's lit up now. And I will say two things because I want to hear you guys. You're more interesting to me. But they were one of the streamers in Louisville was complaining because the police are saying we're going to light these people up. We're going to light them up. But at the same time, I heard on the same stream, we're going to burn it down. Now, I want to tell you another thing that I read an interesting post, and it's hypothetical, but I think it might be real because this is their MO. But BLM states if someone breaks into your house and you shoot them, you must value your stuff over that person's life that broke in. And the post went on to say, I say, if you break into my house, you value my stuff over your life. Any questions? Because I'm going to blow your thing off. You know, you're out of here. So that it's happening right now, and everything's turned around. What's right is now wrong. What's wrong is now right. It is completely upside down.
Well, y'all, I just got an update. A friend of mine is keeping an eye on things in Louisville for me. It just said right here that an officer has been shot at Brook Street and Broadway in Louisville. So as soon as nightfall hit, what was bad today is already getting worse. So there has been a confirmed police officer shot at Broadway in Louisville tonight.
Wow.
So, there's nothing peaceful about this.
What, any news on if it's fatal or they're just injured or
how
nothing?
About, no,
okay.
Ma'am. All I got was the update that said there was an officer shot at, I believe it says, Brook Street and Broadway in Louisville.
15 minutes ago, guys. 15 minutes ago. Confirmed. Police, yes, you're right. Absolutely. It looks like that just happened. 15 minutes ago, it's published. I'll find out more.
You know, and people want to defund the police. I think that is the most ridiculous thing we can do. If you defund the police, you take officers off the street, you cut back on the equipment they have. Many officers have to buy their own bulletproof vests, things like that. And, you know, they're already stretched. And, you know yourself, Phil, there's police officers in this state that are making minimum wage right now. And when they put on that badge and they put on that gun, they go out every night and put their life in their hands. They need us to be behind them, and the people are failing them. We've got these people coming in, these terrorists, and they're letting them just take aim at them and shoot them down. I don't understand what's going on, because, I mean, you would think that there would be people that would say, hey, you know, I'm going to lose my house if I don't go take a stand. You know, you think as long as you're home and you're staying out of it, you're going to be okay. That's what the people thought in Phoenix, Arizona. Look that up on YouTube. Look that up and see for yourself what Phoenix, Arizona looks like. It looks like an atom bomb has been dropped there. I mean, just like it's been nuked. It's just ash. There was one town, I forget which one it was, might have been Phoenix, lost 80% of the residences from these fires. These thugs were going up, setting buildings on fire in town, homes on fire in town, just to see them burn, to burn the people out. We've had people up there pulling these people out of these fires, rescuing these people, helping them get out. We've had people down in Florida, too. I got to give my guys, you know, down in Georgia that went down credit. They went down to the Florida Panhandle, and they helped bring people out of the floods. We do a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, where is the American spirit today, Philip?
But just like you said a few minutes ago, if it's not directly involving them and not in their front yard, they feel no need to get involved. They seem to value their self-preservation. And when something happens, just like the people wanting to defund the police, when the kid that shot the fellow in the bicep here a few weeks ago, the first thing they were doing were calling for police. They don't realize what they're doing when they're calling to defund the police. That's going to leave them open to people that have been pushed far enough and long enough that they defend themselves. They're not going to have to answer to the police either. And then they're not going to have nobody to call. But if people don't realize that right now, it's going to be in your yard before you know it. If you don't do something and people don't get off their rear ends and pull together and put a stop to this, all this wait till it pulls in my yard, then we'll handle it. It's not going to be there. You're going to be the only one in your yard, because when you're not offering help and assistance to somebody else, nobody's going to be there for you when they're in your yard. And what we've seen in Louisville, when you're looking at as many people walking through the town of Louisville, if it hits our small towns and they show up in your yard in your little subdivision, there's not going to be nobody show up to help you, because you've been doing nothing but talking, keyboard warrior, talking about what you're going to do, what you're going to do, what you would do, but you're still sitting there doing nothing. If you don't do something, it's going to be too late.
I think we've got too attracted to fake news and popcorn in this country. You know, people
fact.
Will sit and look, and they get these rosy pictures from the news. You know, this is all, this is this, this is that. You know, they're peaceful. There's not all this rioting going on. There's not all this burning going on. Well, we know different, because we've been in those places. And the people just don't want to get up and get out, because they're afraid, oh, well, I might go to jail if I have to shoot somebody. Well, you know what? If I could go to jail for shooting somebody because I was forced to do it, I would do it to save my family's home for them. You know, your kids are not going to have a future if this doesn't stop. And the only way to stop it is to man up, woman up, put your big boy panties on, your big girl panties on, and get out in the streets. I mean, there are women out here with us, helping us in these streets. Some of them are old enough they shouldn't really be in the street, but they are anyway, because they don't want to see their country burn. They don't want to see it tore down. They don't want to live under communism. And that's what this whole agenda is about. make no mistake, this is not about black and white. This is a tool being used to raise these people up, to get them to start a racial war so that they can turn on and keep pushing this communist socialist agenda. Now, when you have socialism, it always turns to communism. And if you don't believe me, go to Venezuela, go to, you know, to Russia. You can go, you know, to Ukraine. You can go, you know, all over this country, all over this world where there's communist states. And you can look how the people live. They always start out with a great promise, don't they, Philip? Oh, we're going to take care of you. We're going to supply all your needs. You're going to have food. And, you know, you're just going to have the life of Riley. Everybody will get the same pay.
Well,
you know what that pay ends up to be? Nothing.
They want the people dependent on the government by making all these promises, and when they believe them, they're stuck dependent on the government, and that's exactly what they want to happen. They want you dependent on the government. They want you buying these lies, and they're using this mess right now as to take away from the big picture, and people are focusing on all this other mess, yelling race war, race war. You know what? We stood right there. I've had black guys go with me to rallies and support the police. You know, I've seen more white people covering the Black Lives Matter. They've been black white people trying to make a name for themselves, supporting Black Lives Matter, burning buildings, rioting, protesting. You know, it's got nothing to do with race. They're using it as a deterrent, taking away from the big picture. They want people dependent on the government. That way the government can control every aspect of your life, just like this mask, these implants they're talking about doing, the vaccinations. You know, that's what they want, is total government control.
Why do you think they're holding back all the money? Have you noticed you go to Walmart or Kroger or something, you can't get change? They want to put it on one of their cards, and you got to spend it there. So if all you got is a $100 bill and you need a dollar item, they want you to put $99 on the card, and they sit and hold that card and draw interest. That's communism. That's tying your money up, taking control of your currency, and avoiding you being able to spend anywhere else. And, you know, you can go in these mom-and-pop stores, you get change. You know, I do it every day. I go in, I pay for something, they give me my change. You tell me that Kroger's can't get change? This is a time when people's had it hard. A lot of them's had to dig into their spare change. You can't tell me it's not out there. They're calling it back. They're holding it. This is all a setup, people. They want you isolated. They want your faces covered so you have no identity. They want your voices muffled so you've got the mask as well. They want you compliant. They don't want you out in the streets. They don't want you to get together. They want to scare you of this germ that's out here so bad that you won't go out and form together and try to get something done to save your country. And if you're that scared of a germ, you deserve to live in a communist country. That's just the way I feel about it. You know, I know COVID is a disease. I know that it can affect some people bad. Those people, the older people with the high risk, yeah, let them stay home. Let them use their masks. But come on, people, it's time we get real. It's time we stand up. I'm trying not to use the military phrase for it, but you know what it is, Phil. And it's time that you grow a pair of oranges. How's that? And
you get
your tail out there in the street and you do something. And the best way to do it is to get organized. And that's what this organization is about. We're trying to get people organized. If you call us, if you contact us through that website and that Facebook page, then we'll help you organize in your communities. We're in 34 cities in 17 or 18 states. I done lost count of the states. But, I mean, we've got people everywhere, from the northern border to the southern border and from the east coast to the west. We've got charters strung out. And, you know, when they come in against us, they want to – we seen this together, Philip. We're automatically white supremacist militia is the first thing they throw at us, right? And we're nothing like that. We're nothing like that. We're there to protect everybody. If say the Black Lives Matters and Antifa people are being good, and somebody jumps them, who do we take care of? The aggressor.
Whoever's being harmed. Anybody that cannot defend themselves, we will help and provide security for them. If they're hungry, we'll help try to feed them. If they're thirsty, we'll provide assistance. If there's a hurricane, we'll go down and help you clean out a house. It's not about what they're making it out to be.
Right. And we don't choose by color. We don't choose by race. We don't choose by political preference or church or religious preference. I mean, we've got people from all walks of life, and we have come together to be tolerant of each other and lay those differences aside. We don't even allow it in the organization, okay? We don't allow it in the organization. You know, we all got our preferences and our beliefs and everything, but when it comes together to do what we do, we lay that aside, you know. I think Debbie's a Democrat, to be honest with you, but, you know, I forgive her on that. I mean, no, I'm just joking. Anyway, we don't pick sides. We don't pick sides. And the people that's hollering at us and stuff don't realize that if suddenly they were jumped, they would be the ones that we'd be helping. That's the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's got to the point. What did they tell us? Louisville's a black town. It's our town now. Well, I'm sorry. Louisville's not a black town. There's blacks in Louisville. There's whites in Louisville. There's Chinese in Louisville. There's everything in Louisville. No race owns Louisville. No race owns any city. And if they think they do, then I'm sorry for them. Because sooner or later, they're going to have the same mess as all these other cities like Louisville and Seattle and Portland and all these others, New York, that we're looking for at and L.A. You know, and I was amazed when a BLM member got on to Martha McCollum, and we've talked about this before, Philip, but he got on there and said they were raising a militia to hunt down police. And he also said they were going to burn the country down. Right on Fox News. And you know that guy's still walking around? Well, why is he not arrested? It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if we got up and said we were going to hunt down the police and we were going to burn down the countryside, we would be in jail. I don't understand this. And the American people just sat back and letting it happen. You know, it's like Daniel Cameron said, you know, justice has become revenge in these cases. Now, Philip, I want to ask you, what are we going to do to try to motivate people? I mean, what else can we do? You got any ideas? I think we lost Philip.
We lost Philip.
Yeah,
are you there?
Yeah, we lost
okay.
You. I was asking you, what are we going to? How can we motivate people? I mean, their lives are in danger. Their property's in danger. Their workplace is in danger. Those are the three things they want to hang on to. But yet they don't want to do anything to protect them. How do we motivate people to do that?
Bill, that's one that's got me puzzled right now because we've been working on it for a while. And if your family and your home and your jobs and your security and your freedom is not enough to motivate you to get off the couch and stop watching CNN, I don't know what else is going to do it. I mean, if they're waiting on somebody to pay them, we can't do something like that. And if you have to be paid to defend your family, then there's something wrong with you anyway. So I don't know. All we can do is be here and show them the truth, tell them the truth. We've got video and firsthand accounts. We've been right here, right in the middle of this mess in several different states. And if they can't get off their behind and look and see what's happening, I don't know what else we can do to motivate them.
I mean, it just amazes me because, you know, I think back to the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, both Revolutionary Wars and the Civil War. People, 3% of the people showed up to fight. That's where the 3%ers got their name. But we're doing good 5-1% these days. I don't know if
that's
it's got with this gender nullification, if it's you know, got people neutered or what it's got, but I mean something is wrong here.
I think,
our forefathers, they risked their whole. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, they don't know. I'm happy. I happen to be able to talk with 5 to 10 people a day. They're calling me regarding some personal issues I have right now due to the situation that's happened, the shutdown, and they don't know. I'm talking to people all the way to Jamaica, Panama Canal, the Philippines, all throughout our country, calling me up on financial issues and whatever. These people keep talking about COVID. They're still back in March, April, and May. They have not been informed. They think I'm crazy. Now, CNN, by the way, Philip, you mentioned about what's going on in Louisville right now, and my husband had called and said, it's lit up. It's lit up on fire on CNN. Oh my God, CNN is covering this. What can I say? And by the way, Bill, didn't we find out from our BLM friend that came on the show and was so gracious? Didn't we find out that he can put a tweet out and 3,000 people show up within an hour?
Yeah. He can put a tweet out and 3,000 people show up to be there in an hour. Now, this guy is on one of the peaceful organizations of BLM, okay? There are a few out there, okay? And he's wanting to try to make headway with the radical side and us to make headway with the other side to try to come up to the table and talk. And, you know, we told him we'd be willing to do that. But at the same time, I mean, you've got so many of them that if he can raise 3,000 to be peaceful, the ones that are doing this that are worse, there was more than 3,000 people in Louisville. There was more than 3,000 people in Portland. There was more than 3,000 people in, you know, Seattle and Eugene and Springfield. And there's more than 3,000 people in L.A., we saw a while back that they had raised $52,000 just to get their comrades out of jail. And make no mistake, folks, this is a Marxist moment, a Marxist movement. They have said so. One of their leaders got on national TV and said that they were Marxist. And if you don't want to know what a Marxist is, well, you can just think about communism on steroid, because that's about the worst kind of communist there is, I think. Don't you, Philip?
Yes, that's for sure.
I mean, it's pitiful. And I've been at a stump here. I've been sitting all day pondering about, while I was working, about how we can motivate people, get people on. We use a radio show to talk about what's going on, to try to give people an idea of what's really happening. We use our Facebook page. We use the YouTube channel. We've got ourselves out there. And they can watch it, but they're too busy listening to Don Lemonhead. I mean, Don Lemon. You know what I'm saying? They're you know, they're listening to Rachel Maddow. So, they, you know, when you're listening to a Lemonhead and a Mad Cow, you know, they, and it don't say a whole lot for you, really. And I don't listen to a whole lot of Fox anymore. I go to OWN and Newsmax because that's where you get the news like we got it when we was all kids. You know, the guy come on, he told the news, he kept his nose out of it, and he kept on going. Now, we put our nose in here a little bit because we're commentary, you know, and we're trying to wake people up and show them that we tell them the news, but then we make comments on it, and we explain to them what's going on. Now, they can take our comments or leave them. I mean, that's fine. But at least they can't say when they tune into our channels that they're not getting the news. That's the main thing. You know, I doubt that the news, the local news, will even have on about the officer being shot till tomorrow. That's just the way it works in Louisville.
WIVB, Philip, of Channel 4, there's two officers have been shot. Metro Safe confirmed to News Nation. They're both taken to the hospital. So there's two.
So we've got two officers down in the last hour. How much more does it take to get people off their seats? These are the guys that come to you when you're in a car wreck. They're the guys that come to you when your mom or dad wanders off in the woods. These are the guys that come to you in the worst times of your life. And yet you're not getting off the couch. You're not joining anybody to make a difference. Philip and I have worked hard at getting the people we have. And the people we've got is good people. And we're going to keep good people. But if you can't bring it to yourself to man up and walk out that door knowing you're not going to come home maybe to save your family and to save their future, then I don't know what to think of you. I can't sit by, Philip. Can you?
No, sir. That's what we said before the last time we went to Louisville, and we're getting ready to go to that rally in McKee this weekend if we don't end up in Louisville before then and probably on to Louisville after McKee. Just like you said, these are the guys, first responders, that are there when you call, when you're at your worst point. And right now they're outnumbered, outmanned, and their hits been put on them. If you can't step up and help defend these guys, then there's something wrong with you. And that's just what we've been doing. And if it just takes a few of us that have been in before, if it's the same group of us that go back this time, we walked in the middle of Louisville and we brought 20 guys out. Was it scary? Yeah. If you weren't scared a little bit, something's wrong with you. But we did it. That's what John Wayne said, being scared. That's what having courage is, being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Well, right now you're going to have to saddle up if you want to do something about this.
Well, you know, so many people depend on first responders. You know, they depend on the EMS, they depend on the fire, they depend on the police, but now they need your help. And the same people that depend on them are not wanting to do anything to help them. And that's what we're about, too, is we're about backing the blue, backing the police, and making sure we call, we let them know we're coming before we come. We tell them we're on your side, we're going to be there, we're going to try to help out. Cities where they won't do nothing, we go in and we do the best we can to defend the cities on our own. It's not an easy job. It's not a paying job, but it's a job that needs to be done. And what I was going to say earlier was our forefathers have invested their fortunes into keeping us free. And many of them lost everything they had during those two Revolutionary Wars and the Civil War. No matter what side you was on, you invested your, if you had money and you was a leader, you invested your money, you paid your troops. It wasn't funded by the government. And, you know, it's time that we step up once again as Americans and step out and say we've had enough, it's going to stop. We're not there to incite anybody. We're there simply to protect. And it's time that other people join us, get on board, try to help us fight this fight. Because, I mean, we're doing things right now. We're getting ready to start a fundraiser to raise for bulletproof vests for all of our people. And this is one of the things we're going to do, I believe. And so we're trying to do this type of stuff. We're not asking you to go out there forever and risk your life without giving you some tools. We're going to do it as quickly as possible. But, I mean, you know, if you're sitting at home and you've got a pump shotgun, you could be on the street with us. You could be helping. If you're at home and you've got, you know, an AR, you could be on the street with us helping, or an AK or an SKS or any other type of weapon that would handle a situation like that. I mean, I'll go in with a shotgun because I can take out several people with one shot if I have to. And, you know, I don't want to have to, but if me or my team's in danger, I will do it. And I know you will, too. And, you know, it's not like you're going in with guys that's going to run off and leave you. You're going in, when you go in with us, you go in with guys that's going to stick.
and we're going to stay together.
Yeah,
we're going to take care of each other.
We're not part of the Angry Viking organization. We're not part of the Angry Viking organization. We don't leave people behind.
That's right. It was his people we rescued, wasn't it? So, I mean, you know,
we went and got them.
Right. And he had about 500 people with him, and we had five. So, you know, if somebody wants to follow somebody on YouTube that flexes their muscles and brags about what they're going to do and then gets there and apologizes for being there, I mean, that was slapped in the face to us because we was there to do a job. We weren't there to just mug for the camera and sell our products online. And basically, that's what he did while he was there, was it not?
Yes, sir, it was. And not only that, but it left the ones of us there going back to get his people. It put us in more danger than we should have ever been in.
Right. Even the militias left with him and left us stranded. And you know, we got boxed in and we managed to get out without having to fire any shots and stuff. But, I mean, it was dicey. I'm not going to tell you it wasn't. And then when we got separated, you guys got set up, and you managed to get out of that. But, I mean, it takes some people with some guts. You know, if you don't have any guts, then don't call us. But if you got some and you want to save your country, you want to save the future for you and your family and for your kids, then it's time to start giving us a call, getting hold of us through the webpage and through Citizens Against Terrorism on Facebook, because this is the time, folks. We've got less than 40 days, I guess, right at 40 days for the election, and they're declaring that if they don't win. Now, here's another thing. If I don't get my way, we're going to start a civil war.
Yeah.
They've done warned us, okay? I mean, are you going to sit there and wait until the bullets are flying through your house, hitting your kids and your family before you come out? Are you going to sit there and wait while somebody outside is lighting your house on fire or throwing a Molotov through your window? This is happening, folks. This is really happening. We've seen it in Oregon. We've seen it in Seattle. We've seen it in L.A. We're seeing it in Louisville. It's time to get up off your butts and do something. I don't know how else to put it. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse some days. And I just think we need to be able to do something about this. We need people that's willing to go in with us. And if you're that type of person and you think that you've got time yet, you don't. You need to be arming yourself. The last thing I want to talk about is personal safety. Me and Philip had a talk today. And Philip, I'd like you to share what you shared with me about if you're driving down the road.
Yes, well, right now with everything that I'm seeing and what's happened even right here in Corbin just a month ago, people in traffic altercations turns into a shooting and people dead. What's going on in Louisville, Wisconsin, all over the country, it's not enough. In Kentucky, you can carry a concealed now. You don't have to have a permit or license. If you own a weapon, keep it loaded and keep one chambered. When you're driving down the road, don't keep your weapon in your holster on your side. Keep it laying beside you or in your hand. It's that serious. There are people pulling up at red lights, pointing guns at people, pulling in the parking lots of stores, pointing guns at people standing out in the middle of the highway, pointing guns at passers. And it's a dangerous situation, and you're going to have to be prepared. You may not have time to reach for the console or the glove box to get your weapon. Especially if you have your family in the car, you want to be prepared and ready. Have your weapon ready. Have it in your hand, laying in your lap, whatever you got to do. It's your life. Protect it.
Wow.
Because nobody else is going to in that situation. I mean, it's not like we're going to be right standing right there. So you've got to start being careful, folks. Well, that's about the end of our show today. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening. I want to thank Deborah and Philip for joining us today. I think it's been a good dialogue during the show today. And
Bill,
again,
let me say this before you go. If we can get over Deborah being a suspected Democrat, Georgetta Brown, you can come along with us too. We ain't worried about you being a Democrat, darling.
That's right. We take Democrats too, as long as they want to stand up for the country. So I need to close now. Thank you all for listening. God bless you. God bless you, Deborah. God bless you, Philip. And may God bless the United States of America. that it concludes our broadcast for the day. Amen, brother. Amen.